Drew, I'm going to need you to tell me if the leaf blower gets too loud.
Oh.
Or you could just start the podcast, yo. Jesus.
Or, you know, which means it's working fine. It's working fine. Hello, everyone.
Right.
I'm Molly Wood. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, where we make today make sense, except on Fridays where we get increasingly nonsensical because drinks.
I'll tell you what. We should, at some point after you and I are both long gone, this podcast ought to air the previous 10 minutes of ramblings from you and me, because that would be that would just be really good. That would be really good.
Oh, we have a new show where we both simultaneously angrily mutter things that we're going to call Murder Mumble.
Oh, my Lord.
It's going to be amazing.
Anyway,
it's going to be a smash.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm Kai Rizdahl. It is a happy hour Friday, and I can feel myself relaxing already now that we've started. Economics on Tap is what we do on days like this. Live streams up and running. We got YouTube. We got Discord. We got people who are going to listen to the podcast later. We got all kinds of stuff. All kinds of stuff.
It is half full, half empty day. It's going to be amazing. I'm just checking the YouTube. I forgot my extra laptop, so I'm not on Discord today. Apologies. Larry Garfield suggests Make Me Murder Mumble, which
right,
is just what the week has done, actually. So that's fair. Ice cold
Cheerwine.
We got.
Look at that. Cheerwine. Yeah.
What is Cheerwine?
Shout out to David Gura there. Cheerwine's a thing they do like in North Carolina and the South. I did a reporting trip with David Gura, late of Marketplace and now of NPR fame, who introduced me to Cheerwine. It's vile. It's ridiculous. But it was a big thing for him. So, you know.
Death Store Gin and Fever Tree Tonic. I saw somebody having Good Earth Tea. I love that. I love Good Earth Tea. Smog City Brewing Company, Moscow Mule, plus popcorn to absorb the vodka. Kay Kilbert, I think, wins Friday so far. That's outstanding. That's just a really good mix.
Yeah.
Loving it. Loving it.
Good stuff.
Straight
good
up stuff. Bourbon.
Bourbon. Just straight up? Even rocks?
3:30 in the afternoon. Straight up
baby.
Bourbon.
Wow.
And honestly,
go,
I've just
like,
been counting the minutes.
Aren't you going to go exercise when you're done?
No, I did before this time. That's why
oh,
my hair's wet for those on the video, because I did the bike and then I did a little shower. And then, yeah. Yeah. No.
Right.
After? No. No exercise.
I have
only
to go watch
cry.
Fair enough. So I'm having Stone Liquid Palm. It's a double IPA, 9.4% ABV, which I wasn't really counting on, but that's fine. Mostly because I didn't have lunch today. It's all right. It's all good. It's all good.
Dang. And the dogs know.
Okay.
Thank you for noticing, YouTube. The dogs are off with their guy. And yeah. They're off with the dog walker. They're going to have a sleepover because I have a lot of work to do, turns out.
Well, yes. You've got that
it's
thing you have Friday. To do. That we're not allowed
it's
to talk so
about. Much, it's a lot.
Be
of
careful
work.
What you ask
it's great.
For.
It's very exciting.
Be careful what you ask
it's true.
For. Right,
so true. Truer words were never spoken. Let's get
yes.
to the news.
Let's climb in here, shall we? All right.
Yep.
I'll start. I saw a tweet today from Emily Stewart, who writes for Vox. We've had her on Marketplace once or twice. And she tweeted this morning, or maybe it was this afternoon, she said, the corporate response to Texas is that there isn't one. And I retweeted it, and I said, good point. And then later in the day, some things started coming out of the woodwork. Molly, you found one. I also found one from Dara Khosrowshahi, who's the CEO of Uber, who, much like Lyft, has decided they are going to pay legal fees for drivers who get caught in the dragnet of SB 8 down in Texas, the abortion law. So there is a response. It's been, I think, fair to say, slow in coming, but it's interesting to see that it's happening. That's
it has actually been incredibly muted, I think would be the safe.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been mostly silent. And in fact, I think the only reason Uber and Lyft got involved is because they're drivers. This is, in case you have not been keeping up on this, and if that is the case, I envy you desperately because, wow, this is the anti-abortion law passed. I'm just going to call it the forced birth law passed in Texas that for all intents and purposes outlaws abortion there and deputizes anyone in the state or any state for that matter to snitch on and sue someone who they believe to have been involved in an abortion, a woman who got one, someone who advised them, and potentially a Lyft or Uber driver who drove a woman to an abortion clinic.
Right.
That is
or
like
intended
the scope
to. That's
of
the other
thing.
Part of it. It's crazy.
Or intended
it's
to.
Crazy.
Or maybe talked about it in the car. Who knows?
Yeah.
The other example, actually, of a business responding to this that I found today was that an anti-abortion group set up a website to collect tips. I mean, I want to just keep reinforcing how dystopian this is, by the way. To literally collect rat outs set up by the state's largest anti-abortion group, saying prolifewhistleblower.com, saying, please send us your tips about women who are trying to exercise their right to choose a constitutionally protected right in every other state except for Texas. And happily, TikTokers got a hold of it and flooded it with crap, which is delightful. And then finally, after a whole bunch of pressure, their host, GoDaddy, said that they had given this website 24 hours to find a new hosting provider before they would cut off service, because they said it prohibited their – it violated the terms of service that prohibit customers from collecting or harvesting non-public information about anyone without their written consent, which I would say actually to me feels like an outstanding way around this whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah, really clever. I have two thoughts about this whole thing. Number one, you remember how fast the corporate response to the North Carolina bathroom bill was? It was really fast. I mean, the NBA pulled out and companies were like, I don't know about – and it's been really muted here. And I can't understand why. So that's the professional observation. The personal observation is that I think I've said more than once on this podcast, most recently with Texas Democrats walking out of the legislature to deny a quorum over the voting rights bills down there. You were rightly outraged, and I was in the wrong. When I said this, I said, look, if you want norms to be upheld, you have to uphold the norms. And that's been my thing all through the Trump era, right? For whatever craziness the Trump administration did, whatever the Republicans did that was so on the face of it in bad faith, I said, look, if you want to hold up the norms, uphold the norms, you got to uphold the norms. I think I've changed my mind after this Texas law, because it's just in such egregious bad faith, so cowardly and manipulative and destructive to this democracy, that I just don't know what else to do other than to say tit for tat, which just makes me so ineffably sad. You know, it's just really, really, it saddens me so much.
I was saying on Twitter, you know how I'm obsessed with framing. And I think that one of the things that has happened, and frankly, one of the reasons that the media response to this has been really muted, is because the media has accepted the framing that this is like really political and that it's murder, you know, and that there's this kind of really sensitive, there's this extreme sensitivity attached to it, partly because it's based in religion. And so it's like, oh, well, this is a religious belief, and that's a hard thing to trample on. There's a presumed assumption of good faith, potentially. But what we're really seeing, I think, increasingly is a strain of true radicalism. And so I was saying on Twitter, like, maybe we need to call this radical Republicanism. Like, we call it far right, that's one thing, right? Yeah. But what we're really seeing is a splinter of a party that is willing to advocate for violence, engage in violence, take away rights. And where there isn't, you know, if you're looking for some sort of like internal logic, right, internal consistency between a party that's like, no, we'll let a 16-year-old girl die because we're prohibiting masks at school, but we'll stop all women from having any abortions ever and force them to give birth against their will, there is none, right? There is none. So to engage on a logical playing field, to engage as though norms are in effect with what are essentially extremists is a losing battle. And we've never really known exactly how to deal with extremists as members of the media and the public and politicians. And
no,
I think we're seeing those impacts now.
Yeah, no, look, I totally agree. And it's kind of crazy that 5 years after Donald Trump came down that escalator, because that was the precipitating event, right? I mean, let's not pretend it was anything other than that. It's crazy that we're still having this conversation about the media. Me with my, if you want the norms upheld, you got to uphold the norms thing. I'm as much to blame as anybody, but I can't anymore. It's a foundational issue, and you can't play both sides of that street.
I saw a Bloomberg reporter tweeting about this literally yesterday, calling certain members of Congress pro-life. And I was like, and you're doing it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you're doing it.
Right?
That's marketing.
Language matters. You betcha.
Language matters.
It's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Speaking of members of Congress, as everyone knows, I've been thinking a lot about climate change. Oh, wait. No, you have another thing that's going to make me even more mad. Oh, good. I'm just going to sit here and drink more bourbon.
this is the one that's really going to piss you off. So in my other life on broadcast, I host a program on business and the economy as opposed to, you know, the thing that we do here on Friday afternoons. And I want to remind everybody that 235,000 jobs were added to the American economy in August, which is great. I would also like to point out, though, that only 11.9% of those jobs went to women. So of the 235,000 new jobs, men got 207,000 of them, women got 28,000 of them. And the net deficit for women in this pandemic is 3 million jobs, which is just stunning. Stunning.
And by the way, the only demographic group in America to see job losses in this report were black women.
Oh, yeah. Well, and the black unemployment rate overall went up 0.6% to 8.8. There are so many structural things wrong, but.
You know, I was having a conversation this morning with someone who was saying, like, we have to figure out why these jobs are not being filled because, you know, if you drive through any town in America, you'll see signs that are like, due to the labor shortage, our restaurant service is terrible, or like, we can't help wanted, I beg you, right? It's like in car windows, like, please, somebody come work for me.
Yep.
And people aren't. And so, you know, there have been lots of reasons posited. And I really, really just have to think that childcare must be at the root of it. If these are the numbers for women.
Yes. It has to be childcare, right?
Has to be. Yeah. I mean, yes, there's fear of getting Delta. There are layers here, of course. But I am sort of starting to think that at the end of the day, it almost has to be childcare. And it is beyond infuriating. It is beyond infuriating. And you know who is out protesting today, by the way, for their own rights? Women in Kabul.
Oh, yeah. Saw that. Yeah. Crazy, right?
Afghan women.
Talking about guts.
Potentially be tortured and killed for this.
Killed.
Are out here protesting for their rights. And I'm not going to lie. I had this moment where I was like, what if we all just stopped? What if women just stopped?
Yeah.
And we're like, you're on your own.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, should we just skip to the game? Nothing I say is going to make anybody
I mean, if you want to, it's up to you. It's up
to you. Good God. I was just thinking about infrastructure. I'm going to keep this quick because there's been obviously a lot of talk about infrastructure. We saw once again this week with Hurricane Ida that America's infrastructure is nowhere near ready for climate change. We are nowhere near ready for extreme weather events that are exacerbated by our changed climate, as evidenced by a million people still without power in Louisiana. All of New York's subway lines shut down from flooding. All of them. Yeah. Roads literally collapsing. The whole system. Again, it's like the third time this year or something. Right. It's like we are not even close to ready. And we're still having this big argument. And Joe Manchin is still out here in the Wall Street Journal in a fit of terrible timing, as I believe someone put it on TV, arguing that we should just like put a pause on this. The guy who takes a ton of money, by the way, he said that trying to transition off fossil fuels would make climate change worse. Is from, you know, an oil and coal producing state, has had a big fundraiser recently for thrown by the oil industry, is arguing that we shouldn't spend so much in infrastructure, even though, as we can see, we are nowhere near ready for the effects of climate change on our infrastructure. But nevertheless, even what we're talking about spending is $46 billion on climate resilience, $46 billion. That is a super lot of money for like you and me. That is nothing. The levee system in New Orleans alone cost $14 billion.
Yeah.
And their whole entire electrical grid went down. The whole thing for the whole state. $46 billion is what we want to spend on resilience. And people are out here being like, ooh, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Drew.
Help, Drew.
Drew. Thank you. Good job. We asked like three times.
Drew, I think I just shook him. I think he was just sitting there thinking about it like, oh. By the way, I want you to know that me and the YouTube are very impressed with your willingness to acknowledge that you were maybe not right on a topic. Great job, buddy. However, I still appreciate the norms thing.
Yeah. It's not about the being wrong. It's about what it means.
Exactly.
You know?
I don't think you were wrong.
And it means terrible
things. You're not wrong. We should be able to uphold norms. We totally should be able to. But anyway, I just wanted you to know you're getting really nice shout-outs.
That's exactly right. Thank you. Well, that's good.
We can't have nice things. Except you can have nice shout-outs in the YouTube. Okay.
SJ LaRue on the YouTube comment says, sorry, I thought this was Thursday for a moment. Call it out.
A little bit.
We are. All right. Anyway, Drew.
Please know that our internal criticism includes, we can get a little depressing. We're working on that. Drew, help us. Let's play half full, half empty. Let's go.
Go.
Are you half full or half empty on Zoom allowing for charitable donations on the platform?
I hadn't heard about that.
I didn't either. I hold, please, for a quick duck duck.
Zoom adds a donation option to its list of features.
So look, was it really? No. Seriously?
This is so smart, though, because you could hold a fundraiser over Zoom. Like, you could have a school auction over Zoom and people could donate directly. That's great. I love it. Genius.
Okay. Sure. I'll go with that. Half full.
Apparently. On the plus side, though, when I put it into DuckDuckGo, the first result that came up was Marketplace. It was on the Morning Report. So congratulations, SEO team.
Go to the digital.
You're getting
team.
Her done. Yeah, I'm half full on that. I'm half full on this. I think that's a great idea. So smart.
There you go. All right. Next.
Easy. Easy one.
Starbucks unionization.
Oh, interesting.
Starbucks isn't
union? Interesting. Starbucks is not union, and there are three stores in, I want to say, upstate New York where they have launched a unionization drive. Much has been made the past, I don't know, 10, 12, 15 years of the benefits that you get at Starbucks and how they'll, you know, do your healthcare if you're only X hours a week and they'll pay for college and all this jazz. But there are some scheduling issues, I think, with Starbucks and those things. Yeah, look, you gotta take care of your people. And if unionization is what it takes, then okay. I didn't know.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think we're all seeing that the degradation of worker rights that led to the wage stagnation of the last 40 years and frankly is probably contributing to people not wanting to go back to jobs that have been historically kind of crappy for a really long time. Yeah. Unions may have their issues, but this is the type of thing that they're really good for.
Yeah.
Did you know that in 2020, only 10% of wage and salary workers belong to unions? More than 20% in 1983, which was still kind of a small amount, but still. Yeah, you know what? Yep. I'm half full. Get it, Starbucks. Get your rights,
Boom,
workers.
Done.
Boom.
You go.
Half full or half empty on IKEA getting into resales.
Love this.
So which are you?
Kind of not so much.
Which are you? Oh no, I'm waiting for you. That was a non-editorial sigh. I think we need to differentiate between my size, the editorial kind, and the non-editorial. Whatever.
They all sound the same.
I know. I should preface them.
I am super full on this. I'm all the way half full on this. I think this is it's such a good sustainability move. There's this movement in the sustainability world called circularity. The idea that your business actually needs to include consideration of the end of life of your product. Like what happened? That's a customer service issue. What do I do with this worn out thing? And so IKEA is making this real circularity move. Like when you're done with your thing, instead of tossing it in the trash, bring it back, consign it. We'll sell it for you.
Yeah.
Like it's a really good environmental move.
Yeah, I'm full. We did a special, it's got to be like 10 or 12 years ago now on Marketplace, one part of which was the overwhelming amount of crap in this economy that winds up in landfills something like 18 months after it's bought. I mean, it's like stunning. So whatever we can do to reduce that, provided I don't have to reassemble those IKEA things. Right? I mean, they're sold as is, right? You don't have to like take them apart.
That's like, oh my God. I never even thought of that. That's freaking genius. Oh, I am only buying used IKEA furniture forever now because it's already put together.
Think how many blisters you've gotten from those freaking Allen wrenches, right?
So
come on.
So many.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
That's absolutely genius.
Thank you.
A couple of years ago, I went on this kick where I was like, I'm not buying anything new ever again. Because there's so much stuff in the world, like, why should I? And it's all so much cheaper.
Totally.
Now I'm like, I'm not buying anything because my neighbors put out really good free stuff.
Oh, I know.
Actually,
we should do that story. Marketplace should
do
that.
Dude, the pandemic has been a freaking jackpot for free stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a good story.
Literally, all the furniture in my living room is Yep, totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
We just got my kid a new desk. It's amazing. Okay, go.
Okay, how are your thoughts on this week's misinformation crackdown on Reddit?
I'm unfamiliar.
I thought it wasn't an actual misinformation crackdown. I thought it was Reddit users being like, we're going to crack down on misinformation ourselves, which I kind of love, actually. The community policing itself. They were like flooding the ivermectin site with true facts.
Oh, wow.
Misinformation. Yeah, hold on.
I'm all the way full on that. Oh, okay.
Duck.
Well, Reddit banned an anti-vaccine subreddit and has quarantined 54 other subreddits.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, Reddit has really, Reddit's really struggled with this one. I think, you know, most of the social media sites have landed on a similar point of view, which is like, if it's going to get people killed, probably not.
It's bad. Yeah.
It's bad. I like the idea, though, and I really, you know how I feel about this. Like, it's a slippery slope thing. Because the thing about Reddit is that, unlike Facebook, it just exists on the site and you go find it. They're not necessarily promoting it to you, although they might be. So I think the real question is, like, should it be allowed to exist or should it just not be amplified? I like this quarantined idea. Maybe.
Ring-fenced, as it were. Yeah.
Yes. Ring fence it.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Contrary to Nancy Cassett, our boss, who said, I want a decision from all of you on the half full, half empty things. I'm going to say whatever Molly said. I'm going to go with Molly.
I'm half full on what seems like a good measure and on the community policing itself. Because honestly, you get what you allow as a community, and that goes for everything. Get what you vote for. Get what you don't vote for. You get what you tolerate.
There you go. I think that's right.
It was a little bit of a dodge, but I'm sticking with it.
That's all right. I'm fine with that. Last one. Do we have a last one, or was that the last one?
Okay, the Perseverance rover has collected its first rock sample.
Oh, yes.
Thoughts on Perseverance?
Well, more importantly, it's the first rock sample that's going to be brought back, right? That's the deal. So they drilled a hole in a rock, they pulled it out, and then through some, you know, orbital mechanics, whatever, they're going to get it back to Earth, which is just cray-cray, half full, all the way. Send Matt Damon. I'm going.
So
full. Yes. Yes.
Sorry, wow.
I'm not ducking. I'm Googling.
And it's like I know. Guy's like, yes, USA. That's amazing. That is actually amazing. It is, apparently there's some uncertainty about whether it actually kept the rock, like the first time it crumbled, which is kind of interesting. The second one looks promising. Yeah.
And they're going to try to get it back to Earth. Intact sample present in the tube after coring. However, inconclusive. Poor sunlight, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, so yes, totally full, and I hope we can get it back. Because come on, a rock
so
from
cool.
Mars?
So cool. So yes. Cool. Halfle, thank you for the space porn. I love it.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Boom. All right, we ended it on an up note. That's awesome. That is awesome.
I know. Make me smile. We're sampling Mars. Bah, bah, bah.
Yes. Good stuff. I don't even know what that was.
He's like, get out.
Drew went crazy. Drew's just hitting buttons. Hitting buttons.
Drew's like, just leave. God. All right. That is it for us today. It has been a while since we asked this, but if you're not a subscriber to this podcast in your favorite pod listening app, you should be, because you just get a new one for free every day. So hit the subscribe button, because apparently it helps us in the metrics department. And we just love to know that you're out there. It makes us feel good.
And our, you know, performance evaluations, frankly, depend on it. So no pressure, but, you know, hit that little follow button. I'm just saying.
They don't think we're doing a very good job.
that's a whole different podcast.
It's the only way I can address it.
And Molly's performance evaluations. All right. Tell us what you think about what we do, good, bad, or otherwise. Questions, comments, what have you. Send us a voice memo or an email to makemesmart@marketplace.org, or you can just pick up the phone and call us. 508-827-6278, 508-UB-SMART. Hook us up, would you?
Performance review time. Keep it coming.
I have to do my goals. What are my goals? Come on.
Oh, I know. I have to do my goals too. Stay Sober on Friday podcast. Make Me Smart is produced by Marissa Cabrera. Today's episode, otherwise anything could happen. Today's episode was engineered by the masterful Drew Jostad. The team behind the YouTube live stream and our game, Half Full, Half Empty, is Stephen Beyond, Catherine Devine, Emily McCune, Master Troll Emily McCune, and Mel Rosenberg.
She's all about pumpkin spice. I know.
She's getting him
it's
good.
It's going to be dispatched with Mark A. Green. I'm just saying. The theme music for Half Full, Half Empty was written by none other than Drew Jostad. The senior producer is Bridget Bodner. The executive director of On Demand is Sitar Nieves. And with that, oh, you know what we should have said? We should have said we're off Monday. Oh, well. Too bad.
They'll figure it out.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.